I want to come back to this whole idea of practice as progressive and cumulative. An interesting conversation with Banty recently, where he said that what he had been trying to do in the text of Living with Awareness was to show how the practice of mindfulness went beyond the four-stage mindfulness of breathing and moved into the area of insight. What he'd been trying to do with the Living with Kindness book was to show how the practice of metta went beyond the five-stage metta bhavana practice and gradually shaded into the experience of insight. Then he said something very interesting, actually, and so interesting that I checked it with him. He said that he thought that what some order members were starting to do with formless practice was analogous to that. He said that what he had taught is just sitting. He hadn't really unpacked the implications of that. He thought that some order members were starting to take just sitting and starting to show how it shaded into the area of insight. First of all, I thought it was a very interesting take on some of the stuff that's been going on around this whole pure awareness discussion, to have it addressed in that context. But the more fundamental point, one that I do want to spend a minute on, is this idea of each of those practices shading into insight. I want to talk about pure awareness first of all. A meditation colloquium last August, we tried to rebrand pure awareness. We're really suggesting that it doesn't get called pure awareness. It just carries such a connotation. We're suggesting a blanket term or an umbrella term of formless practice. If you want to know more, there's a session this afternoon reporting back from that colloquium. But it's been a controversial thing, some of the stuff around pure awareness practice in the last few years. And I was thinking there's two completely different stories that you can tell. One is that it's been an organisational disaster, starting with David Smith, his criticism of the spiritual plateau, the opposition between pure awareness practice and bhavana practice. And we've created such a muddle around how the whole thing hangs together. So there's a whole story that you could tell about how did we get there. There's another story, I think. I was thinking, in my experience, actually, pure awareness has caused some problems. It's mainly caused problems in me talking to other people about their practice. But on the whole, in my direct experience, I would say its impact has been more helpful than harmful. And actually, I don't do pure awareness practice. I don't do formless practice. I spent one 10-day retreat with Tejananda and Viveka, completely didn't get it, and just went back to the mindfulness practice. In fact, to tell the truth, I couldn't tell the difference between what they were teaching in the mindfulness practice. But one of the things that I notice is I've never seen so much interest and excitement about, passion about, and ambition about meditation practice than I have in the last few years. It just seems to me meditation has got a life in it that I don't think I've seen for a long time. And you're getting people seriously talking about the experience of insight in a way that it hasn't got the apologies and the qualifications. They're just saying, you know, you get a particular kind of attention to your experience. It supports pretty much at least the first glimmers of the experience of insight. And what I realise is that on the whole, I've found the whole discussion around pure awareness to be an enormously stimulating element. Even David Smith accusing us of being on a spiritual plateau, I immediately think that'll be right. And it's made me engage with my practice with an intensity that I think I didn't have before. So I want to tell the story a little bit about what a constructive, stimulating, shaking up of the pattern it has been. And Banty, again in these question and answers, says that formless practice is important, helpful, useful, as long as it's in a context. And I want to come back again to the five spiritual faculties. The only thing he says is if you think it's the whole path, then it's not. That goes against the whole Buddhist tradition. If you put formless practice in a context that recognises that what you're trying to do is set up the conditions that support deepening awareness, deepening positive emotion, deepening clarity, transformation, then there's no problem, I think. So you're back to this whole question of how a practice gets contextualised, how it gets fitted into a broader system of practice.